So I'm going to try to follow that up with a sermon now that says essentially what he just said in a different way. So let me pray. Lord, nothing good happens this morning without your anointing. I thank you for that sweet testimony. I thank you for this body of believers here and the riches that are in each one of them. Father, I pray that you would give me the words to say right now. I pray that you would guide me here. And I just pray that you would give everyone ears to hear and eyes to see. I just pray, Lord, that we could all together grow this morning in Christ Jesus. So Holy Spirit, move among us now, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we are stressing life together. We're stressing one anotherness. Brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters in the faith. We're a family in Christ. We're stressing this, and the scriptures stress this. So I want to give you guys a few bullet points here, and then we'll get into it. So the one another passages in the New Testament are used 100 times. Huge amount of times in the New Testament are they mentioned. The phrase one another or fellowship together or something like that. One third of these one another commands in the New Testament deal specifically with us getting along with each other and our bad attitudes and our insecurities and our fears and weaknesses. Verses like Ephesians 4:2, bear with one another in love. Colossians 3, forgive each other. James 4, don't speak evil against one another. One third of those 100 passages speak about us getting along. The next third speak specifically to us on how to love each other, how to love one another. So verses like, just as I have loved you, so are you to love one another with brotherly affection, and through love, serve one another, and on and on and on they go. And then 15%, about half of that, 15% of the one another specifically stress an attitude of humility towards one another in our relationships. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Philippians 2:3, in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And 1 Peter 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. And the rest of the one another passages are just varied, you know, husbands and wives, and they all really have to do with relationship, right? Because they're one another. They're us to us, back and forth. But it's a huge theme throughout the New Testament. So we're focused in on that right now. So why this important, why the focus by the New Testament writers, and why this recent focus that the Holy Spirit is putting on our hearts, of all the things we could say, I had about 8 things I was going to say today, and this dropped in my heart again. Again, not because we're coordinating, but why is the Holy Spirit saying this to us now? Body of Christ, the Holy Spirit speaks in seasons. We would do well to pay attention to what we hear. Why is he saying this to us now? And I have 4 reasons that I want to throw out to you, among probably many. Number one, God is most glorified in our unity together, right? Jesus prayed, Lord, let them be one, even as you and I are one. Paul stressed in 1 Corinthians, was Christ divided for you? Was Christ divided? I plead with you, he said, to think the same thing, to be of one mind. He started off with the church in Corinthians with all their issues, and right off the bat, he asked them that you would, all of you would agree, and there would be no division. You'd be not united in the same mind and the same judgment. So God is most glorified. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride not divided, the bride unified, say, come. And that's when Jesus returns to earth, right? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And so we, with one voice, say, come, Lord Jesus. You can't have one voice if you're divided, though. Number two. No, I'm not a doctor, but as far as I know, no bodily organ lasts very long after it's removed from the body. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think a liver is going to last long taken out, you know. Pancreas, I wrote some numbers down here because the internet told me. A pancreas can last 12 hours and a liver can last 24 hours for a transplant. A heart has to be done within 4 hours. That could be totally off, but that's what it said. But nonetheless, I can't cut off my hand and put it on a table and expect it to thrive, right? You can't go to a branch of a tree and cut it off. You can for a little while. It'll look the same for a little while, right? Some of you who have cut yourself off, you look the same for a little while. You can actually say the same things and do the same things, and you still have some fruit that's hanging on there, but it's only temporary. You can't cut yourself off from the source and expect to last long. You start to decay. You start to rot away inside. You start to feel dry and empty inside. And some of you feel that way this morning. You feel like that flow of life is gone, that flow of life in the Spirit, because you're disconnected. There's a disconnectedness that's happened to you, and hopefully we're going to remedy that by the end of this here today. So saying that you do not need regular spiritual fellowship with one another is like saying that you don't need regular blood flow for your organs. It's a necessity. You have to have it to survive. Number three, why the focus on life together? Because something exponential happens in our growth, both individually and corporately, when we learn to do life together. Something happens in our spiritual growth that's just, it's amazing. Individually, we just start getting healthier. We start growing faster. Corporately, as little groups, we start growing faster. So go to Ephesians. I hope you have your Bibles or a Bible app this morning. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 15. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 15. Speaking to the body of Christ, the church in Ephesus, he says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are, corporately, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So, again, we speak the truth in love to each other. We grow up in every way into Christ. He is how the whole body is held together and joined together. And when each part is working properly, that makes the whole body grow. Have you ever put together an engine? Never done it. I have no idea how to do it. But if you put together an engine and that one part is left off, but the engine's still running, and you say, don't need that part, and then you drive down the road and something sputters out and dies, it's because that part was essential, but it didn't seem essential. And some of you here might feel unessential, but you are essential. The body does not grow unless each part is working properly. So it's essential that we know how to do life together. Sometimes Lizzie and I talk about our weekly house church as a spiritual health checkup. It's something that keeps us sharp, right? Lizzie said it last night, you can write with a dull pencil and still make marks, but it's different than the sharpened pencil, right? And we can feel that way. We did house church for a long time and had the regular meetings and stuff like that, and then we took a break when we had kids, our fourth, and then you don't really notice it, but after time of not having regular intentional fellowship with the saints, there's this subtle dullness that just kind of creeps into your heart. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're with the saints, there's a sharpness that's there. You're challenged. It's iron sharpening iron, right? And when you're away, when you're on an island by yourself, you start to get dry. You start to get a little bit dull. And you don't notice it at the time, but you look back 2, 3, 6 months, a year later, and you're like, that was a sweet season when I was with the saints. And that's all that is. We're sharing life together. We're sharing the Spirit together. So there's a spiritual health checkup that happens. You guys want to do this, and you're designed to do this. But it's hard. In our spirits, we all want, we all crave spiritual fellowship, right? But in our flesh, we crave isolation. In our flesh, we crave to hide, don't we? In my flesh, I think every single time we've had house church, almost every single time, I would rather watch a documentary on Netflix and check out and eat popcorn and chocolate. I don't really necessarily like getting together with all you crazy people with your hang-ups and your issues coming into my house and me having to deal with you all the time. I'm speaking of myself, by the way. But isn't that the case? It's easier not to deal with people because I got enough issues of my own. I don't need you bringing your issues in and talking about that because I am focused on number one, right? This is just normal. This is normal life in the Adam nature. But in Christ's nature, with the new nature, I'm telling you, you guys desire to be together. You guys want to grow together. You want to share life back and forth. But it's hard. So this last Friday night, we had our monthly First Friday prayer and worship meeting. And I had literally just walked in from work when it was time to start. And I was tired. And had a long day. And in comes Jill Jurgens and her kids. And in comes the Humigs and their family. And Dennis was there and a few other people. And we sit down. And I could just tell, maybe it was just me, but I could just tell we were just tired. It was the end of a long week. It was Friday night. It was the end of the month. And we would like to check out. And so we sang a little bit, and I just told them, I hope you guys got some Holy Spirit you can share with me, because I'm not filled right now. I feel pretty dry and pretty empty, and I feel like I'm going to fall asleep right now. So we start going along. We start singing our little songs, right? We start singing that he's worthy, that he's holy. We start sensing his presence there. Then all of a sudden, my wife shares a testimony and a scripture. Sean shares a testimony. Dennis prays that fire would fill our hearts. And all of a sudden, John 4 starts to happen. And when I say John 4, I mean the woman at the well experience. Jesus sits down at the well. It says because he was wearied from his journey, he was tired, and he sits down. And the disciples go to buy what? Food, right? To come back because he's hungry. He's tired, right? And the woman at the well comes, you guys know the story, and he starts to prophesy to this woman. He starts to give her words of knowledge. He starts to minister to her, and she comes alive, right? And Jesus is, he's being filled as he's doing this with the Holy Spirit, right? And he is ministering to her. She goes away to tell the whole town about it. The disciples come back, and it says, Rabbi, eat. Eat. We know you're hungry. And he says, no, I have food to eat that you don't know about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And that started to happen for me on Friday night at that little prayer and worship meeting. All of a sudden, I didn't feel physically tired. All of a sudden, I felt energy in my spirit. And I started to prophesy to Jill Jurgens. And I started to minister over, who else did we pray for? We prayed for Morgan. We prayed for Morgan. I started to minister to her. We started to, and the Spirit was moving in the room. And we got done, and everybody left, and I honestly felt like it was like a second wind. I was like, I can go. We can, let's do this. This is fun. This is normal. This happens every time. This happens every time. You guys know the experience, right? You show up to read the scriptures. You don't feel like you can make, you get done. You get faith in your heart. You feel energized, right? Same thing in prayer. This happens with life together. And this is the normal anecdote for our needing to veg out that we say we need all the time. This is the anecdote that the Spirit gives us. This is the energy he actually supplies. The Lord knows what we need. So, number four, my fourth point. Why do life together? Why the importance and why the focus on this? Is because the kingdom comes when we're together. The kingdom comes when we're together. The church in Acts had this completely figured out. They were together. They were together daily. I'm not sure about you guys. It would be a little hard to do daily life with you guys. We could figure it out, but I don't know how we would do it just right now. But these people ate together. They talked together. They listened to sermons together. They ministered together. And then they ate together again. And they talked together the next day and did it all over again, right? So it says in Acts 2:42. Let me read a couple of these passages to you. You have it up there, Dina. I'll just read this. So, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So when the saints came together, they started to get freed up from issues like greed. They shared all things. They started to get healed from the love of money in their hearts. When the church came together, they started to get healed from issues like discontentment and complaining because they had cheerful hearts. When they came together, they were getting a regular diet of the word of the Lord because it was being taught. When people come together in a group, usually somebody has a psalm, a hymn, a teaching, a spiritual song, a word, right? And when they came together, tons of people got saved. The kingdom came when they came together. Thousands were added to their number. And then Acts 4, if you have that up there, 4:32, this is another snippet into what the church looked like. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought proceeds of what was sold and laid at the apostles' feet and was distributed as they had need. So again, the church is walking in power and authority. They're walking in such power and authority to the point where it says that the Pharisees came to the apostles and they said, "You're filling Jerusalem with this teaching. Stop it. We told you to stop and you won't stop. You're filling Jerusalem with your teaching." I wonder when the last time any of us ever heard that said from a public figure. "You're filling Kansas with your teaching. Stop it. The whole state of Kansas is getting lit on fire for the gospel because of your teaching." It's not happening right now. And I would say one of the reasons it's not happening right now is because of our lack of one anotherness. The Lord wants to restore that. It's on his heart to do. So, all that is a preface for the word we're going to focus on today in 1 Peter. So if you would, go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And this was the passage that just kind of jumped out at me yesterday. Hopefully we're going to have some practical application from this and some help for y'all maybe, and if you don't feel a desire to do this. So starting in verse 8. "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly." 1 Peter 4:8. "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever." This is just one of the many one another passages that we could focus on, but this is the one that was on my heart. So to go back to the beginning in verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Or the word there is fervently. It's a passionate type of a love. It's a fiery type of love. So the verse before that says, since the end of all things is near, we should keep this in mind. So we're about to spend a long, 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 long time together. Am I right? If you're in Christ with me, then we're about to spend eternity together. So it's really probably important now that we learn how to love each other, because we're going to live with each other for a long time, you know? It's kind of like your spouse. You get to the point, you're like, you gotta stay with me. You got to live with me. Sorry, you got to deal with it. I'm here, you're here. Let's just learn to work this out, right? So whatever differences we have, whatever grumbling, complaining, disputes, problems, offenses, let's just learn to deal with it now. Above all, love one another. And something I was thinking about is when your supply of love is high, when you have a high regard of love for somebody, it's kind of the ointment that heals a lot of the problems we normally deal with. Little petty offenses and misunderstandings and even big offenses can easily be, you know, written off. They can be forgiven. They can be moved to the side because of our great love. Think of your kid, right? Your kid, your precious little cute toddler goes and writes all over the walls and but there's such love in your heart. How can you be mad, right? Or your puppy. I you know, maybe not for me, but for you of those of you who have puppies, right? They chew up your favorite whatever and you're like, "Oh, but he's so cute. He's just a precious puppy." And cats are demon possessed anyway, so we don't need to worry about cats, but you know what I'm saying? If you have a high degree of love, you can overlook offense. And that's exactly what happens with us. If I feel the love of Jesus for my brother, then I can deal with his weaknesses, insecurities, because I know that's not Christ in him doing that. That's him in his old nature doing that. I can look past that and I can pray for him, right? And hopefully the same for me. When our degree of love is low, is when we start having problems, right? That text message just seemed a little bit attitude-ish to me. Your little smiley face made me think you kind of had an attitude. I'm frustrated at you now, right? Or the way they talked on the phone didn't really quite sit well with me, right? So the green means go at the stoplight. Go, 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 go. Because the driver in front of me, I have no patience for the driver in front of me, right? So when our degree of love is low for that person, the offense level goes up. Does that make sense? Low love, high offense. High love, low offense. It's a miracle. It's a miracle equation. It works every single time, okay? So above all, love one another. And I wonder why he says, when he gets to the part, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Okay, let me back up. So I got ahead of myself because I was excited about this next part. How do we show love to one another? Some of you might be asking that question. I say, you got to love each other. Okay, great. How does that look? Because I'm trying and I don't really know how to practically walk this out. I don't know how to do this. How do I just love? How does that naturally come out of my heart? Well, Peter knows that we need help with this, so he's going to give us two really helpful practical commands on how we can love one another. And the first one is what I just read. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. I would say you guys are awesome. I'm probably speaking to the crowd here, but maybe not. When we are hospitable, when we open up our home, when we open up our life, when we open up our heart, we do something for that person, but it's really doing something for us. If you have a hard time loving the smelly, annoying, talkative person that lives whatever next door, if you're having a hard time with that person that you just can't love, get them into your house. Get them around your dinner table. Get in their business. Get them in your business. Get into their hearts. Get them in your hearts. Find out how you can pray for them. Ask them sincere questions. Understand what makes their life hard. Understand what makes their life enjoyable. Do life together with them. And then see if you don't get touched with a heart of love for that person. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You've experienced this before, right? Didn't Jesus do this? Who did Jesus surround himself with? He surrounded himself with the people with hang-ups. I mean, Zacchaeus had issues. The short guy that was really greedy, right? Jesus came and said, I'm coming to your house today. I would like to come eat with you. And what a faux pas, right? You don't go to that guy's house and eat with him. He's got major moral issues. He's got character problems. Peter, Mary Magdalene, right? Look at the people who Jesus got around him. Those who are forgiven much do what? Those who are forgiven much love much. Jesus didn't have much to say to the people that had it all together, did he? He said, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and then come back and talk to me. He said, your lips honor me, but your heart is far from me. That's what he said to those type of people, right? And unfortunately, those are the people that you and I kind of like to cozy up with, don't we? Those are the people that I'll have in my house. Those are the people that I'll become friends with because we're kind of socially, you know. Jesus didn't have much kind words to say. Pretty bold. But man, he sure loved the people that had issues that were just hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are all those people. So if you feel less than, Jesus has got such a heart for you. And hopefully we as the body of Christ will demonstrate that heart for you. So, second thing, how do we love one another? First thing is hospitality. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. If you're having trouble loving people, one of the best things you can do to demonstrate and start walking in that is to start using your spiritual gift. Start walking it out. Start pouring out that life of Christ in you to somebody else and see what happens. See if you don't change. See if your heart towards people doesn't change. And you actually view them as an opportunity instead of as an obstruction to your day. See if you don't view those people as a way to bring Christ on the earth, bring his kingdom on the earth, instead of an interruption in your daily schedule. Start using your spiritual gifts. So, no one is more joy-filled and contented and focused than when they regularly exercise their spiritual gift. No one I know is more happy than when they're doing this, because they're flowing like a river, right? They have received, and they give. And then they receive some more, and they give. And that's the healthy, normal Christian life. What we receive, we give away. And I would also say, no one's more frustrated and self-focused and discouraged than the people who pawned up. Receive. 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 And that dam is built there. And eventually, that water becomes stagnant. And eventually, saints, if you have received, 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 and you have not been giving, then you're not going to be fit to share your water right now with anybody. So may the dam burst for many of you this morning. And may you be set free to begin to flow by giving away. The one who loses his life finds his life, right? The one who tries to save his life is the one who actually loses his life. We don't pawn up. We flow like rivers. And we are incredibly joy-filled and happy when we do that. When I flow in my prophetic gifting with people on a regular basis at work, as I'm running around town, as I'm doing day-to-day life, in ministry, whatever it is, when I'm prophesying to people, when I'm looking at people and speaking what the will of the Lord, I feel so confident in the Lord's love for me. I feel so confident that I'm being useful in the kingdom. I feel so confident that he has a purpose that he's working out through me. It's awesome. And then in those seasons when I decide not to do that, and I'm just going to focus on my life, and I kind of forget to use my spiritual gifting, then all of a sudden, I get insecure. Does the Lord even have need for me in the kingdom? Am I doing anything valuable? You know what I'm saying? And some of you might feel insecure this morning. I feel like I'm saying a lot that the Spirit's just putting on my heart. If you're feeling this way this morning, it's because the Lord doesn't need you to ascend to some higher place to go get something you don't have. He's asking you to break open the dam and let what's in you flow out. Start flowing out and seeing if that doesn't change the way you think about yourself. So, how do we love one another? Be hospitable. Get people into your home, get people into your life, into your business. How do you love one another? Flow. Use your spiritual gifting. Use the spiritual gifting that God has given you. It says, as good stewards of God's manifold or varied grace. So one commentator says, manifold grace is many-colored grace, as when a ray of light hits a prism and the light diverts and goes multiple different ways, it shows different colors. So God's grace in you, coming through you into that person's life, is going to look totally different than it will from mine. Just like Levi said, he and Katie had multiple aspects of the life of Christ hit their hearts because all the gift mixes were represented, right? So that's what it means to be good stewards of God's varied grace. So, there's healing that's manifested when we come together in Jesus' presence. And where is Jesus present? Where two or three are gathered in his name. We've noticed on spending time regularly with saints on a weekly basis, there is a spiritual health that starts to happen. And not just physical healing, but there's emotional healing happen, and strongholds get broken down. And it's a cool thing to watch. So, Jordan Hatfield, excellent teacher. If Jordan is not teaching, he's miserable. Jordan needs an outlet for that. And it's more than just this Sunday morning, right? This is great. He teaches sometimes here. But in his discipleship and in his day-to-day life, Jordan needs to flow in that. So teach. So teach. As each of you have received a gift, walk in that. So teach. Sean Humig is a servant, and he's an evangelist. Sean Humig is made to bless people. He was created to encourage their hearts. He was created to bring the gospel into the lives of people that other people have written off. When he serves people, the kingdom of God comes. So serve. With the grace that God supplies and the strength that he supplies. Lita Poffenbarger isn't here this morning, but she's a prophetic encourager. When she sends me an email, it can unlock my heart in what the Lord's saying to me. When she blesses, when she prays over our service, it's just such a sweet thing. She prophesies, she's a blessing. Joel Jordan has the gift of giving. Multiple people here have been blessed by that. Multiple ministries have been blessed. This man who's been successful in business has got a heart to give. Some of you guys here have that same gift. So give. My dad is a servant filled with mercy. Levi Kepler is a natural leader. People follow him. Chris McGathy is one of the strongest encouragers I've ever met. His wife Julia just gushes mercy all over hurting people. Cassie Walker has a deep wisdom in the prophetic, even early on. Emily Brickley, Becky Vandenberg are the same way in the prophetic. And I could go on and on and on and on and on about all of you guys here. As you have received that gift that you got from the Holy Spirit, let it flow. Let it flow. Be together. How can we minister to one another unless we're with one another? How can we be hospitable to one another unless we're with one another? How can we serve one another unless we're with one another? This just takes the messy relationship, day-to-day walking out life together. And this is the way the Lord has chosen it for us. And it's so easy. I availed myself of this morning. I was ready to preach early this morning, 1 o'clock. I was like, let me at them. I'm going to knock their socks off. Give them the best sermon ever. And I woke up this morning with Satan sitting on my face. Well, I can't lead worship because Luke Beal and the team did better than me last week. And I really can't teach because I can't teach. And it's going to be horrible this morning. And I got here and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I can't breathe spiritually. I need help. I need help. And I was like, I'll just press through it and I'll get it on. I said, no. So I told the worship team, you got to pray for me. So Stephen McVeigh gives me an encouraging word. And I go back to Ryan Vandenberg and just get some stuff off my heart. And he prays for me. It lifts. And said, I got faith. And I can speak to you guys in faith and not in fear this morning. Avail yourself of the body of Christ, beloved. It's important for you. It's important for them. And this is how the kingdom of God will come among us. So, love one another fervently this week. If you're having a hard time kicking that into gear, get someone to your house this week for a meal. If you're having a hard time kicking that into gear, get together with some saints at some point this week and just pray. Just see what flows from that. Ask God to move through you literally as his hands and feet this week. God will supply the strength. You just have to be able and willing to serve others with the spiritual gifts that you already have inside of you. So if my sweet wife could make her way up here this morning, I'm going to pray for you all. And she's going to give just a call, just an encouragement and for the women. And then I'm going to pray for us. You can kick some music on and we'll be done.